Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There is a woman who quit her job, and this is the way, if you're going to go out all the way. She was working at a restaurant, and we have some actual audio and video of this woman quitting her job. Here it is on Bone TV.
Here we go. I don't give a I got hired at Yale. Suck my mother.
Whoa.
Yeah.
She dropped her big black ass. She mooned them on the way out and played with her butt cheeks.
Smacked it around a little bit.
Oh. It looked like
Rikishi. Yeah, listen, you remember Rikishi?
Yeah, she gave him the stink face.
Listen to that again.
Now, here we go. I don't give a I got hired at Yale. Suck my mother.
By the way,
do we know who she is? I'd love to try and call her.
I love that everyone in the restaurant is like, they're eating. Like, listen to the butt smack too. Everyone,
she got a big old fat ass on her.
She does.
Oh, that's great.
I wonder what she got hired at Yale to do. That's a very.
Is that what she said? I got hired at Yale.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to yell as you're getting fired from a job in a restaurant.
I got hired at Yale.
Yeah, but maybe, out here serving biscuits to you.
Yeah, maybe Yale is like a bookstore, or like
or a restaurant.
Yeah, not a restaurant. Yeah, it's like the Yale Yard or something. Yeah. We got you.
Oh, that's hilarious. We need to try and find her.
I don't have any information on her name or anything, but if we can try.
Where was that? Did it say?
No. It just says there's a video of a woman online who quit her job at a restaurant.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's wonderful. And the guy caught it on Snapchat.
Yeah. His face is great. He's like,
You never expected to see that.
He did a great job, too, because he moved out of the way so you could see her smack her big old booty.
That's wonderful. I got to tell you, this is the best reason for Bone TV.
Yeah.
Because we're all laughing at this, watching this, and you know you can go find it.
They're saying that this happened outside of a restaurant in New Haven, Connecticut, and that she was, in fact, recently hired by Yale University, but they do not list the woman's name.
Do you think Yale's still going to keep her on?
Come on.
Is she like, that's why she quit, because Yale hired her? Or is she mad and then going out?
Oh, I found her name.
Akua Matena.
A-K-U-A is the first name. A-K-U-A. Last name, A-G-Y-E-M-F-R-A.
Oh, my God.
Agema Fry. She's a 20-year-old.
You should be able to find her in a second.
She's 20?
York University.
She's not 20. Look at
know.
That.
I don't know.
Weathered 20.
Yeah.
I'll keep looking.
That could be her mother.
Yeesh.
I don't know. If you every time she hits her ass, can you count the tides, the waves? There's only about 20 in there.
Oh, man.
That's how you tell how old the black chick is.
I'd give that ass a smack.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you.
Right?
I, when she was doing that, I was like,
I think
really?
It's got good shape to it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. He's right. He's right.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
Have you ever quit a job like that? Like, I don't
know.
Known
people?
I'm trying to think of the worst way that I ever quit a job. It was when I was delivering pizzas, and it was July 4th weekend. They were like, hey, you're working July 4th weekend. I go, no, I'm not. And they're like, yeah, you are. And then I just didn't show up. And then that was my way of quitting. But I never walked out in a blaze of glory. I was like,
I think I made my mother quit for me when I was younger.
Really?
Just call me.
I walked out of a Walgreens in the middle of my shift. That's how I quit. I had like a line going through, and I was like, I'm done. Took off my little vest, and I was like, I'm out of here. I don't want to do this.
The only job I ever quit was I worked at a pizza place that my brother's friends owned, and I told them because they were like, my paycheck didn't cash, and I go, hey, listen, you got to start paying me cash, and then I'm going to Florida in 2 weeks, and when I get back, I'm not working here. And that was it. But then they actually hired me. The one owned a car detailing shop. Yeah, me detailing cars. That lasted about, I don't know, 10 minutes. They brought in a car that the people had a dog and there was hair all in the back. And I'm vacuuming, it's not coming out. And I just went over to Neil and I go, hey, this really isn't my thing. I said, I'm not going to work here anymore.
Yeah, bar back.
When
you're not the bartender, but you're getting
bar
ice.
Bar back is a rough
carry
job.
Ice.
And
yeah.
I did it right. I had gotten an internship at 102.7 WJSE in Atlantic City, but it was working for free.
Right.
And I had also landed this awesome gig at the time at a casino in Atlantic City being a bar back. that was a pretty lucrative gig. That was a thing that then all of a sudden you become a bartender and you're making $80,000 to $100,000 a year at that time.
Damn.
But I went in, and my first weekend, I went in, it was like Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend, big weekend, and I walked away from the 11 to like 7 shift with $32 in tips. And I go, how am I only making $32 and the pay is only like $4 an hour? And I go, well, this is not worth it. And I just go, oh, I will never bar back again. I was terrible. I couldn't carry the ice. I mean, it was too
Maybe that's why you got $32.
Yeah.
Because the bartenders tip you out. They were like, this guy didn't give me any ice.
Then I learned you're good to the bartenders. There's just money to be made there.
Sure, yeah. So
then I figured out a scheme, which is that the casinos, when they go, I had to train to become a bar back, so they pay you for training, and it's good pay. It's like $15 an hour. So my buddies then would just start going from casino to casino to go through the training, get the jobs, and quit. And they would do the 2-week training.
Oh, they pulled a Gary Cannon.
Yeah. They'd make a lot of money, and then they just move on to the next job.
Oh, I remember. I was in high school. I was a dishwasher, and they paid like $3 an hour or whatever it was, and then all your money came from doing other people's jobs. Bartenders, hey, will you go downstairs and get a couple cases of Budweiser and then go get it? Then they're throwing you 20 here and there. Before you know it, I made $100 in the night.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with my job.
Awesome.
I miss those days. No, I don't. Yeah, I was making a joke. Yeah.
A guy was fishing in Wisconsin a few weeks ago, and he lost his prosthetic leg. So he posted on Craigslist in case anyone found it. Last week, two guys actually spotted it in a beaver dam. They found the post and returned it to the guy. He wound up giving him a $50 reward.
Oh, for his leg.
Yeah.
That was nice. Hey, what's the...
The beavers were like, that was so perfect. It was keeping everything together. Right,
what's the reward policy?
Like, you got to give him
for
something.
What?
No, I mean, that's $50 for a leg. I think that's good.
$100 for your
prosthetic
leg.
Okay, but what if you're a cab driver and you find a wallet with $5,000 in it and you return it?
If you find $5,000 in a wallet, if you don't get at least $100,
yeah,
that's ridiculous.
All right, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, does that seem cheap? But, like, here's the thing. My $5,000 that I have, I need all that $5,000 that was in my wallet because I was taking that to go pay my mortgage or whatever. So... Like people think,
still,
oh, this guy carried $5,000. He should have given you $1,000 of it. You're like, oh, no, he needed that
for
bill.
If it was something like, hey, I had that $5,000 because my mom needs surgery and it's $5,000, understandable. That's all the money you have. Okay, maybe when your mom gets better, she makes the cab driver a nice meal or something.
Yeah.
But, $100 out of that?
I think that's, all right, we're along the same lines.
Because
I just wanted to see what you thought because sometimes... I read these stories, and then they go, and they gave them a reward of $100. And everybody goes, oh, that's it. And I go, well, he needed that money for something. It wasn't like he just happened to be carrying around $5,000.
But you look at it thinking, well, this guy's walking around with $5,000. What an idiot. He could be out $5,000. Instead, he's just out, $100.
Right.
So maybe a little bit more.
What is the limit at which you would keep it? Is there like a because I would think if it's anything over like $50,000, that's drug dealer money. And now I don't feel bad taking it.
Yeah, it depends.
I'm worried about it, but I feel comfortable taking it because I go, hey, you know what? It's scumbags. But if it's a
give me the scenario. Give me the scenario and how much money and
you're on the bus. And for whatever reason, your car breaks down. You're on the bus and you find a bag with $17,000 in large bills. So it's obviously drug
stolen.
I was going to say turn into police, but I don't even want my name associated
Absolutely
with it.
Absolutely not.
I don't know, man.
All right, you're walking home.
I may take that and try and trade it into somebody and get, like 50 cents on the dollar.
You're walking home and you find a bank bag,
And
that bag has $50,000, $60,000 in it all wrapped up. It's not from a bank, but it's like one of those bags. And it's just like stashed behind a garbage can or something. Like you see it.
And are there cameras? Is it walking home?
You're walking home down on a
city, or am I walking in a like a?
You're walking down on your neighborhood, your old neighborhood when you were a kid.
Oh boy,
I know.
Yeah, I take it. I have to take it. I have to take it and try and figure it out from there.
Yeah, I agree. You look to see if there's anything suspicious, but then I grab it and go. You know what? I'll figure it out down the road.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that, too.
Unless you think.
And when I walk away, I try and walk smaller. So you can tell.
I would imagine that whoever put that there is coming back shortly to get it.
Yeah.
And if they're out looking for you now, and if they see you walking around with your bag.
Or they're watching it, and they put it there because they can see it from wherever they are, and they watch you take it, and now they're just following you home.
What are you trying to catch me? Like, why are you watching
your bag? Because they're hiding from the cops. The cop is circling the block. They had to hide from the cop, but they wanted to separate from the money so they weren't associated with it if they get caught.
Or it's a drop. Like, you know, somebody else was supposed to get it, and they're watching to make sure he gets it, and you come and pick it up. Well, you're not the guy who's supposed to get it because I'm not getting my girlfriend back from you that you're holding hostage.
The answer is you reach in the bag, you just take a little bit of it, and you leave the rest of the bag there because most likely when the guy comes back and he sees the bag, he's not going to realize anything's missing until it's too late to figure out where it's missing.
That's smart.
I know. That's how.
How do you walk away with?
You don't be greedy. You don't be greedy, Rob. Most of these small crimes, most of these little embezzlement things that you do are great. Which when you get greedy, that you get caught. If you start taking pennies on the dollar and nobody notices, you start doing it for 4 years, somebody's going to notice eventually. Telling you.
What you don't know, though, is I always carry $17,000 of counterfeit money with me, so I put that in the bag.
Smart. Real smart. Very smart. Ron, what would you do if you found the money?
Hey, man, let me tell you something. If the only way I would give that money back is if I saw in the news that it was, like, you know, really, like, oh, charity something, but nobody's going to remember your good deed, and if you're going to, even if you should get at least a grand, because let me tell you, if somebody brought back $5,000 cash in my money, I'd give them $1,000 because I could possibly lose all five of that $1,000.
I wouldn't want it. If I brought it back to you and you were like, oh, my God, thank you. This is my wallet. I was using to pay that. I wouldn't want you to give me $1,000. I would be like, no, man, that's your money.
But you also make $1 million a year or whatever.
14 million.
Oh, whatever. Whatever, dude. You know what I'm saying. You don't make $20,000 a year.
No.
So that's what I'm trying to say. Come on, man.
But hold on.
You're from New York.
I know. And there have been plenty of years where I did make crap money for years. And I'm just saying. So let me tell you what happened, Ron. In 1990, I was a telemarketer. And I went to the corner gas station to get coffee during one of our coffee breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And some old guy lost his wallet there. And it was Christmas. It was like 2 days before Christmas. And he had to be like in his 70s. And he lost a wallet with hundreds of dollars. He was going to buy Christmas stuff. And I felt so bad. And then when we got back to the thing, one of the other kids that worked in the telemarketing room, he found the wallet, and he gave us all $100 out of it because the guy had a ton of money in there.
Right.
I still feel guilty to this day.
Oh,
44 years old, I still feel guilty, and I was making less than 20 grand then.
You should, because I read a story about that guy. He killed himself.
Oh.
He was sad he couldn't get his grandkids.
See what you did, Ron. You flooded me with guilt. Thank you, sir.
You New Yorkers.
Listen, he's right. I mean, if I really did make $14 million a year and I lost $5,000, somebody gave back, sure, I'd give him $1,000 of it. I would. And I would keep the money if it was like from a corporation or if somebody was going to do a drop at a bank, you know, at the end of the night and they forgot it in a cab. Yeah, I'd probably keep that money.
Yeah.
But if it was somebody's personal money, the guilt would just be too much for me.
I told you, and of course this, you know, you're not going to get away with doing this. But when I worked at the nightclub, we would go and pick up the cash for that day. Like, we would drop off and then we would pick up the cash for all the registers.
Right.
And at the time we had, I don't know, 15, 17 different registers that all had a certain amount of money in there. And I was doing it for so long that when I stopped working at that nightclub, that was still the bank that I went to. And I pulled up and the lady goes, are you here to pick up the your cash for today? Whatever. And I was like,
yes.
No. I'm not, because there's a lot of cameras and stuff. So. And you have my signature on file. You know my name. You know, it just didn't work out. But I was like, maybe?
Let's find out from a woman's perspective. Tammy, what would you do?
Well, I would be completely nervous that there's like a hidden camera somewhere on that show. Like, what would you do?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, John Quinones is out to get you.
Yeah, I'd just be way too nervous to try to get away with it.
I would, you know, the thing is that if you act casual like you're supposed to do, like if Galvin went there and it said, they were like, are you supposed to get this cash? And you were like, yeah, and they gave it to you and you drove away and you didn't flinch, you didn't start dancing in your car.
Right.
Even John Quinones would be like, he's too calm.
Yeah.
What is going on over here? I don't know.
In this day and age, there's cameras everywhere. I would feel like I'd get caught.
Now it'd be hard to do. John Cusack was in a movie where it was a true story up in, I want to say, in Philly.
Yeah.
Where it was an armored car that hit a bump and the door opened in the back and money fell out and Cusack found it. And all they had to do was sit back and wait for one of those hard, you know, middle-class working people to start buying stuff before they figured out who stole the money.
Right, yeah. He really did everything wrong.
Yeah. Thank you, Tammy. Scotty, it says you once lost 10 grand. Where?
Well, my old lady owed it to me for child support, and they've been looking for me for a year. And they spontaneously sent me a check, and I cashed it. and I didn't want to carry it around in my pocket, so I shoved it down between the seats of my truck. And I took it to have the interior clean, and the guy just walks in with a handful of money and said, "Hey, we found this money in your truck." I'm like, "It better be 10 grand. And he counted out. It was all there, 10 grand. So I gave him $100.
Oh, he gave it back? You left him there to get your car washed?
That's on you, man. That's a bad move.
I didn't leave. I was in the office. I didn't leave.
Regardless.
You put it in your car, and you're like... Yeah.
Why don't you just sit it on your head and walk around with a blindfold on?
Well, that was good that you gave.
I didn't want to get robbed or something. You know, I didn't want to keep it on me, so I just put it down between the seats. And
but
$6 an hour, and they kept the money. So I got you. Saved it for me.
Oh, people are good. Thank you.
I don't know. Maybe take it home before you take your car to get washed or whatever. But the other thing is,
put it in a shoebox.
I would rather have it in my pocket so I have a fighting chance. When was the last time you were robbed? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
When was the last time somebody mugged you sitting in a place where you're getting your car detailed?
I have never been robbed. I have never been held at knife point or gun point or anything.
It's a lot of fun.
But
it's a blast.
Yeah. I don't walk around the hood in Baltimore either.
Baltimore.
But I have, for one reason or another, had like 20 or 30 grand in my pocket or an envelope or something, just like taking it from one place to another.
Yeah.
And that... At that point, you feel like it's going to happen in any second. Like, everybody knows you have cash on you.
Sure, yeah.
Not true, but you feel like it. Frank, go ahead, Frank.
Hey, Mike, how are you today?
Good, man. What's happening?
Dude, I used to work at a small mom-and-pop record store in New Jersey, and we had a Ticketmaster back in the late 80s. And one time, we sold like eight or ten shows for the Grateful Dead, and we had like 100 grand cash in the store with us. And our boss was like, "Yeah, I'll take it to the bank." And normally, me and another manager would go and take the money. He was gone for like 6 hours. He came back and he's like, "Yeah, I was robbed."
Yeah, sure you were.
I'm pretty sure he wasn't robbed.
Did they ever catch him? Did they ever investigate it?
No, he had a black eye and just came back and said, "I now have 100 grand."
Yeah, the one year that they, the one time they had 100 grand was the time that he got robbed.
Exactly. We're like, "Yeah, sure you were robbed."
Funny. Thank you, sir.
We used to, at the end of the night with the nightclub, I mean, all that money, we would have to go make a deposit, and it would have to be two managers would go together in separate cars, and the one manager had a gun with him, and so we go walking out, it's me and him, JJ, the manager, and we go walking out, and he's got, like, probably, you know, 80 grand in cash there, and this car comes flying up through the parking lot, and he just drops the bag and pulls his gun and draws his gun. One of the drunk girl bartenders. She's like, "What are you guys going out after this?" You almost got killed.
You realize if he shot her, you'd both have to go. She tried to rob us.
Yeah. VH1 is developing a new cooking show hosted by who? Who would be good to host a cooking show together?
An old rocker.
An old rocker?
An old rocker. It would be...
Oh, you're close. You're really close.
Ooh, an old VJ?
No.
An old
You were close with old rocker.
Right.
But not rocker.
So old.
It starts with an R and has a ER at the end.
I saw.
Old Raper?
Close. You're even closer. Add another P in
Bill
there.
Bill Cosby?
Add another P in there.
Rapper.
Yeah, an old rapper. Yeah.
Oh, so it's going to be Joe Run DMC?
No.
No, I was kidding. I'm saying it's not him. It's going to be an old rapper, white guy or black guy?
Black guy.
Black guy.
Likes to smoke up, so he likes to eat a lot, probably.
Method Dog. Man.
Yep, Snoop Dogg. Oh, there you go. Snoop Dogg and who?
Rachel Ray.
You got to have somebody from the food world, right? You got to have somebody who deals with that stuff.
Not Guy Fieri. VH1 can't
I'll
afford
tell you, it's
him.
Not a guy, it's a woman.
Yes, of course it is. It's Paula Deen.
She does food stuff.
So trying so hard to prove she's not racist. Right. She's doing a cooking show with a Negro.
She does food stuff. She does decorating.
Oh, Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yes, VH1 is developing a cooking show hosted by Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg. It's called Martha and Snoop's Dinner Party.
I'm excited.
It'll premiere sometime.
That's good for two episodes.
It'll premiere sometime this fall. Oh, it was just canceled.
Cooking show with Negro does sound pretty interesting. Oh, I would totally watch that if Paula Deen.
Paula Deen's cooking show with a Negro, and every week she cooks with a different black guy.
Oh, my God.
That's fantastic.
I would watch it.
Would you not watch that?
I would.
Paula Deen's cooking show with a Negro, and it doesn't have to be famous black people. They could also be criminals.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
the
bounty hunter catches
No, not for Paula Deen. She needs to be only with bad people. Although you could put her with Ben Carson, yeah. Like he's popular at the time.
I would imagine instead of show in Negro, she would want the word bigger in there somewhere. Paula Deen would.
I bet they would. I don't think that it would be good for
big cooking
VH1. I don't think for Paula Deen. Oh, Spanish. That would probably be your absolute favorite show.
Welcome right now, one of my favorite people in the world, Miss Paula Deen. Miss Paula Deen, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you? It is so wonderful to be able to speak with you today, Miss Paula Deen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Spanish.
I want to get right into it, Paula. With all the trouble that you've had in the media, with you being racist and all the uproar with that, what do you find is the best way to continue being racist?
Very quietly.
Okay. Do you think that younger people are more tolerant of race?
Well, you know, there certainly is a difference between, like, my grandson, who's 8 years old, and my aunt being 85.
Yeah, I am sure your 85-year-old aunt is as racist as you are.
Yes, yes.
Paula, seriously, would you be okay if I just started yelling the N-word right now?
Spanish. You can't say anything that makes me any happier.
That's what I thought you'd say. Man. Okay, listen, Paula, we all know that you don't like hanging out with black people, but sexually, what do you prefer, white guys or black guys?
I love a black.
Oh, my God. So, obviously, Paula, you can't just go around saying the N-word whenever you like, but do you have any code words that you use now?
Once in a while, I would call on Aunt Jemima or eggplant.
Oh, man, I don't think you should say that. Paula, what would you do if you were alone in the kitchen and a black person walked in?
Set the fire alarm off in my kitchen. That's the first time I'd ever done that. And when this bell started going off, I just stopped and asked the audience. I said, what is that? What is it? And somebody, it's your fire alarm.
That seems like a bit much, Paula. Paula, since you are still very racist,
yes.
I'm going to read some words from a list that I found that are maybe some younger, hipper words that you might be able to get away with.
Yeah.
You know, words like chigger, spigot, gooch, night tassel, jungle rock, maybe, like rice cake or dark noodle. All right, Paula, you can use any of those at your discretion. I love you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, darling, and I love you back. And tell everybody out there listening that I sent love and best dishes to them.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Paula. I hope you have a fantastic rest of the day, and enjoy yourself.
Bye, darling.
Yeah, that was a very special relationship. Yeah.
I miss her so much.
The cooking, Paula Deen's cooking show with a Negro coming to BET sometime soon.
It'll be a mid-season replacement for the Martha Stewart Snoop Dogg thing.
Steve and Julie Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Ulmerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.